Good morning again. It's good to be with you and serve a God who has done so much to serve his people. If you're still in Nehemiah from Bible class, you can stay there because we will again be in Nehemiah this morning. Just to briefly try to draw out one point from Nehemiah's life and the characteristics he showed as he was leading the people of Israel. A house divided against itself cannot stand. You may know that from Abraham Lincoln, who knew that from his Bible. And there are many applications from that phrase, but there are also many lighthearted ways to take that phrase. A lot of families, maybe in this area, are either a Cardinals or a Cubs fan, and some of them may be in the same house. There's one family who is Red Sox and Cardinals fans in the same house. And every time I go to their house with a Cardinals shirt, I get a lot of flack from some of them. Different things like that, silly things, can divide families. But something that we have learned in our house that has divided us is growing up with two different and learning from two different songbooks. I have a hard time memorizing song lyrics for whatever reason. That's the way my brain works. And singing to Margaret, we don't have a lot of the same songs memorized, which is fine. But one song that we both know very well is 591, Make Me a Servant. So that's a song we have often sung with Margaret. A song about a desire to work and what serving God looks like. And it looks like Jesus. Jesus is embodied in that song. And we see a great servant in Nehemiah as well. So I'd like to look at Nehemiah and specifically just focus on himself, him and his life as a servant briefly this morning. Like we talked about, he was one of the best leaders and best followers we have examples of in Scripture. And in both cases, he was a great servant. He was a leader who served his followers and a follower who served his leaders and who served God. And the guy worked. He worked a lot. He worked with people. He built a wall, logistics, bureaucracy, red tape, letters, governors, travel. He was a dedicated worker, a great worker for God. And when we think about that song that we just sang, 591, five times we sing, if you sing that, you will say, make me a servant. And this morning, I'd like us to consider what that really means, what we are really asking God to do when we say, make me a servant, and consider that from Nehemiah's life. What do we really mean when we say that song? Because it matters. It matters that we are asking that in worship. Is that lip service, or do we really want God to make us a servant? And what does that mean? And we can learn that from Nehemiah, and we have learned that from Christ in our study of Matthew on Sunday mornings. Christ was and is a servant. And from the reading in Matthew 20 that we'll get to in a couple weeks, this is one of the times where Jesus explicitly explains to his disciples, this is why I am here. And he is here to serve. That is what he was trying to get them to understand. So how do we follow Christ's example? How do we understand from Nehemiah, what does it really mean to be a servant? And how does Nehemiah give us the tools to understand to do that, and to do the work. Back to Jesus, he was a servant even when it was inconvenient, even when it was poor timing, even when he was tired, even when it caused his own death. Just like Nehemiah, he wanted to serve the people he was leading. I've learned a lot from that study in Matthew, a lot from Nehemiah, what it really means to be a servant, and I hope we can do that together this morning, and ask God truthfully every time we sing that song to make us his servants. One of the very early servant characteristics or aspects of a servant that Nehemiah displays is in chapter 1. In Nehemiah chapter 1, he hears a report from Jerusalem about the status, the emotional, the physical state of the people, and he reacts very strongly. Nehemiah 1:3, these guys that came from Jerusalem told Nehemiah, "The remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire." And then Nehemiah immediately reacts. As soon as he hears these words, he wept and mourned for days. He fasted and he prayed before God. He was affected very deeply by the needs of the people. He cries out to God on their behalf. He lumps himself in with those people who are in great trouble and in shame. He makes himself one of them in his prayer that God remember them, that God have mercy on them. And if you notice in his prayer in 4 through 11, he constantly refers to himself as a servant. Verse 6, the prayer of your servant. 10, the people are your servants. 11, your servants, the prayer of your servants, and again, your servants. And Nehemiah is not just saying this off the cuff. He really thinks of himself and knows that he is God's servant. You need to make sure that when we call ourselves God's servants, when we call ourselves Christians, when we display that to others, we are bearing that word truthfully. And Nehemiah was. We see from his actions and the rest of the book, his priority, his concern was for the people. He was willing to serve God, and he was willing to serve them. He meant this wholeheartedly. One of my favorite phrases, Nehemiah's compassion led to action. He organizes this monumental task of recruiting people, of rebuilding the wall, while also looking out for the people's faith, for their hearts, for their physical well-being, for their spiritual well-being as well. We see his compassion continue throughout the book. In chapter 5, people were being oppressed. There weren't enough resources to go around. People were taking advantage of their brothers. People were becoming slaves to each other. They couldn't escape this situation they found themselves in, the financial and physical oppression of their situation. And Nehemiah steps in and works to resolve the situation. He points leaders to a better way, and even says that he himself is lending out money to help and not charging for that. Again, in chapter 5, we see his generosity for the people. He lessens their burdens. He cares for what they are going through. He tries to make it easier on them, tries to make their physical life better so they may have an easier time turning toward God. He does better than his predecessors, the governors of the past. Compassion drove Nehemiah back to Jerusalem. It drove him to care, to protect, and to encourage the people. He was desiring to serve them, all because of one simple message that these guys are in trouble. How do you feel when you know, or when you see, or when you hear about people in trouble? Or trouble and shame, as Nehemiah hears. Does it produce any feeling in you at all? Do you feel that way about your brothers and sisters in Christ when you know they are in need? How does it make you feel when one of us is struggling, when one of us is grieving, when one of us is hurting? Bystander syndrome is very common in the real world. You learn about that with things like car accidents, and first aid. How do you feel when people out there are struggling? Do you think the next person will take care of it? Do you say someone else can do it? I don't need to help. I don't feel anything for them. How does your heart react when you find out people are in need? Jesus stopped and helped. Nehemiah took courage. He left his position as a servant to become a servant to others. He left a kingdom, probably a nice lifestyle, to go help because he felt for the people. He had compassion on them. Feelings spurn action, and he was beginning to make preparation to leave a life behind to go help people that needed him for a time. Serving often is an inconvenience to what you want to do. Almost always, putting yourself before others means not doing what you want to do in situations. Nehemiah did that. He left a lot. He took a lot of risk to his personal life. The journey itself was long and hard. The people in Jerusalem did not want Israel to be reestablished, and they threatened his life. He forsook some level of comfort, I would imagine, as a servant in the king's house, to moving to a city that was in ruins, who didn't have a wall, whose gates were burned. To what inconvenience did Jesus go through to show compassion? To what lengths did he go to serve? Through his actions, he went to the cross. If it causes us discomfort, if it causes us pain, if it's not what we had planned to do, we can take courage and work and serve and have compassion on those whose lives are in more trouble than our own. It's a necessary part of any work in the kingdom. It's about helping those who are in trouble and who have shame. I think in both Jesus' case and in Nehemiah's case, the compassion and desire to serve was driven by a love for their brothers. We sing that in Servant Song. Giving to others with all that I do in love for my brother, make me like you. They care deeply. They loved those who were in trouble, and they trusted God to provide strength and courage. Compassion helps in so many ways. It gets the ball rolling. It affects our hearts. It drives us to work and to serve, and it also builds trust. We talked about in class, the people of Jerusalem knew Nehemiah cared. They knew he cared. He had shown it to them countless times. I'm not sure if they knew who Nehemiah was before he came. Probably not. But by his actions and compassion and the fact that he came to help them, it showed that he cared for them and he felt for them. And that's why later in the book, we see that they are willing to listen. They're willing to change. They're willing to change their ways and listen and trust that he cares for them spiritually and physically. I think that's why the book of Nehemiah seems to go very smoothly. So many things he is juggling, but it all goes well for the good that God is wanting. In love for my brother, make me like you. Christ showed that all the time. He loved his brothers, he loved his neighbors, and he wanted to take action on their behalf. How do you handle a task that is bigger than you, or how do you serve in a way that is daunting? The idea of building a wall, I've seen walls built out in the real world, big retaining walls, and that takes so many people, so many days. It is a giant undertaking. Being a governor of a land, being in charge of these people, being in charge of this great spiritual renewal that was coming to Jerusalem and to Israel. Nehemiah had a big task ahead of him. It was bigger than himself, and he knew it. He asked God, and he prayed often. He recognized that God can move and do much bigger things than he could himself. Good lesson for our service. And in his service, in his work, Nehemiah had help. We know Ezra was around at the time. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we see that The people gathered together as one man in the square before the water gates, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both women and men, and all who could understand what they had heard on the first day of the seventh month. And he read it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra was helping Nehemiah with his work, with his service. Even after they had finished building the wall, Nehemiah set up faithful men in charge of the city that he trusted, now that his focus was going to be elsewhere. He was balanced in his service and approach to God. He didn't lean one way or go the other or focus solely on the wall and then leave or try to cram the word of God down the people's mouths and then just leave. He gave of himself to fill what was missing in the people's lives. They needed a wall, so he built a wall. They needed their culture and worship of God restored and influence for good, and Nehemiah did that. The book is set up that way as well. In chapters 1 through 4, it's about rebuilding the wall, starting this process, adding security for the people who didn't even want to live in Jerusalem because of how bad the situation was. Nehemiah addresses all their concerns, financial, physical. He helps them and provides a place for them to draw closer to God. He serves in that way. In chapter 5, he corrects oppression, he shows mercy, he changes hearts, and he points to God. Chapters 6 through 7, they finish the wall, they worship, there's generosity, there's gift giving. People kind of spread out and begin to resume normal life activities, and he helps them do that. They go to their towns after the work is completed, again, helping them establish themselves, get their feet under them, showing compassion and serving, helping them be strengthened, to be encouraged, to grow, so that in 8 through 10, the people gather as one. They confess their sins, they worship, they observe the Feast of Booths, they read the law, and again, hearts are changed. There is a renewal and restoration led by Ezra and the priests, led by Nehemiah, as they remember the God that they serve, that Nehemiah reminds them of countlessly throughout the book. The God they serve is holy, he is merciful, he is forgiving, and he loves them very, very much. Remembering what kind of leader God is and what kind of followers they need to be. And they make a covenant. They say, we want to do better, we repent, and we want to change. We want to observe all that God wants us to do. Chapter 11, they start rebuilding society, establishing leaders in cities and towns. They are dispersing to be fruitful and multiply again. They dedicate the wall, this great thing that God has accomplished in their lives. In chapter 12, we have the establishment of the priest work and the service they are to do. Temple worship kicks off again, and God's ways are established. And then in chapter 13, we have some course correction, some correction and some reproof from Nehemiah to get the people back on track. We see from the book, Nehemiah was very level-headed, he was confident, and he was balanced in all that he was doing. I think it's worthy to note what Nehemiah did and also what he did not do. He did not arrive in Jerusalem saying, I know better. You are doing horrible things. You are doing wrong. This is what you should do. This is the right way. He didn't beat the people over the heads for what they were doing or the situation they were in. He helped. He loved. He showed compassion. He built them up to then get them to a place where they would accept God's way, accept God's word. He guided, he planned, he directed, and he encouraged. All of the people, he was so, so invested in their lives. He works with the people. He's not above them or outside of them. He's not the guy sitting on a throne 400 miles away telling them what to do. He's with them. He is in their lives. He knows what they're going through. He couldn't correct the oppression if he didn't know there was oppression going on in the first place. He doesn't lord his position over them, but he serves. He considers himself to be on their level and does whatever he can with what resources he has to help them. He doesn't just condemn. He doesn't just threaten or say you are wrong, but he shows compassion. He is balanced and he helps. He's serving. He's serving them, and he is working and working and working to get them on the right track. In our service, in our work, we will not be able to do everything. There's no way that one of us or all of us can do everything. It is okay to ask for help. We are not big enough alone. But God is good, and there are many good, faithful people around us to help with the work. Nehemiah had those people. Jesus had those people to help with the work as well. Let those people in. Even if you have to help and train and encourage, like your children, like we talked about last week, they don't know exactly what to do, but they should be shown how to help. Set people up who can do something that maybe you don't have the time to do. Nehemiah couldn't just stay in Jerusalem 24/7 all the time. He was governor of a bigger region, and he had to go back to his original job, which was a servant to a great and powerful king. But he set people up who he trusted to do the right thing. And that was successful. Our service, our work requires balance in so many regards. We are juggling a lot of things, like Nehemiah was, like the people were. They were financially distressed, emotionally distressed, physically distressed, in spiritual need of food from God. And that requires balance that we often don't get right or can't get right. And we have to serve with balance. There are things you need to address immediately. There are things you need to work on immediately. And then things you can work on when people are mature, when they have their feet under them. We can't serve people and do nothing to help them grow, to mature, to rebuild what sin has torn down, and that requires balance and compassion and patience and confidence that God can do so much with the little that we have. And Nehemiah did all of this because he was inspiring. He inspired the people to do better, to choose better by his actions, by his words, by his love for them, because he was with them, because he was serving them, because he was humble, because he was giving, because he showed love, just like Christ does and did. Make me a servant. Do we mean it? Oftentimes, I probably don't mean it with as much effort, with as much of my heart as I should, because there is a lot that comes with that phrase. We have to give ourselves. The song says that. Be humble, be lowly, take all my pride. We have to give ourselves completely over to the work that God has set in our hearts, the good work that God gave Nehemiah, the good work that he has given us. Sometimes I don't really mean that because I don't want to give up what I already am doing or what I want to do or what I think I should be doing. I don't want God to make me a servant because that means a lot of change for me, giving up, shifting of priorities. But from Nehemiah's perspective, from his example, he wanted to be made into a servant, and he did it. He left his position for a time to help others. He went to great lengths to restore Jerusalem and the people who were living in it. He endured ridicule, threats, shame, lies, all of that. And he didn't make himself great, but he gave in the ways that God had blessed him. He showed his care for the people. He served them in tough times, and he set them up for success. That is what we are called to do. in our service and in our work. Serving and working means making time and also means being flexible. There is a balance. It means sacrifice. The plea from the song that we see at the very, that each verse ends is, make me like you. Make me like God. Make me like Christ. The plea focuses that song and focuses us on Christ. He is the example in the way that he served and in the way that he worked. This is what he was trying to get people to understand in Matthew chapter 20. He says they would drink the cup, they would sacrifice so much of themselves in service to others, as Christ has served others. The picture of a servant is a picture of less of us and more love and compassion for others. Compassion, balance, dedication, being with the people, helping them, getting them up on their feet so that they may choose God, that they may be in environments where they can easily choose God as Christ wants us to choose God. So what are you serving in? Do you mean that when you say, make me a servant? None of us will be perfect servants, but thank God for the perfect servants that we have in Christ. But we can strive to be better servants, to give ourselves to the work, to choose things that God would want us to be serving in, to think less of ourselves and to give more and give all of ourselves to others. That will change us into more of what Christ is. This morning, if you haven't decided to make yourself a servant to God, that commitment can be made, or if there's anything else that you need assistance with, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.